Amen.
Good. I'm glad somebody is. Amen. All right. All right, stand with me tonight. Turn to Psalm 46. We're going to look at Psalm 46, verse number 10. Psalm 46, verse number 10. I appreciate the opportunity the preacher gives me to preach tonight. I hope it's a blessing and encouragement to you. Psalm 46. Now we're going to look at one verse tonight, and then afterwards we're going to be going to Psalm 62. But for right now, we're looking at Psalm 46, verse number 10. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And we're looking tonight at "Be still and know that I am God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again tonight for the opportunity. And Holy Spirit, as always, I ask, please, tonight, the words that I say would be your words and not mine. Help me to step aside that I might be a blessing and encouragement to all those that have come tonight. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for our church. And pray, God, that you would just give us something from heaven tonight that we might take with us throughout the week. It might be an encouragement to us and a help as we deal with our daily lives and the world that's outside. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 46, verse number 10, of course, a familiar verse. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, sometimes, and especially during this time of year, things get a little bit in a hurry. Amen? Amen? It's that time of year where everybody's in a hurry. They're going different places. They're trying to get different things done. They're getting prepared for the holidays. God bless the holidays. Amen? Especially when you're working for the post office. It's a wonderful time of year. Last night we had a bunch of stuff to do, and it just kept coming and coming, and the boss shows up, and it's like, they just kept sending it. And he's like, "I don't understand this. We still got 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, and it's started early this year." I'm thinking, great. If this is early, what's it going to be like in another 2 weeks? But, you know, people are in a hurry. And here, this word, "be still," the word "still" means to relax and stop what you're doing. It means to take time to stop and focus. God's saying here, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes in the Christian life, we've got to slow down. Now, it doesn't mean slow down in the work of the Lord, doing what God has called you to do, staying busy for God, but sometimes we've got to stop and we've got to focus. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, "haste makes waste"? Some of that's mostly the older folks, huh? Any of the younger ones ever heard? Haste makes waste. Look, sometimes we get in such a hurry and busy doing things, we make mistakes. I mean, look, when you're working for the post office, it's that way. I see a lot of people get in a hurry to get something done, and then next thing you know, we have to redo it, and it takes us twice as long, and then it keeps us from doing something else. In the Christian life, there's a lot of things that need to be done, but look, it's you get them done, but make sure you every once in a while you stop and focus and think about what you're doing so that you don't make mistakes. Yeah? So in a world that is filled with suffering, we need to take time every day to think about about the God we serve and how much He loves us. We need to think about what God means to us. You know, we get so busy sometimes we forget God. Hey, look, it's that time of year. Everybody's preparing. What am I going to make for Thanksgiving? What am I going to cook? What kind of desserts am I going to make? Hey, instead, we ought to be saying, well, you know, what does God think today? What does God want me to do today? What does God have for me today? Be still and know that I am God. And if I get a little bit of water, I don't know if somebody can get some water, I appreciate it. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about "be still and know that I am God." Some things I want to look at. If you look over at Psalm 62. Now when I talk about "be still and know that I am God," it doesn't mean I'm going to take an hour to preach it. It just means that that's the title of the lesson. Some of y'all are not smiling tonight. Look at Psalm 62. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. We're not going to read all at one time. But here in these verses, David uses the word "wait and trust." Wait and trust several times. Both words, of course, have the meaning to being still. And, you know, there's different things that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. Number one, you look at "wait upon God." Verse number one, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation." Waiting on God. It is not easy waiting for anything. Amen? Stand in the post office line. Work the windows with people standing in line. People are not patient today. Sad to say, it's even Christians. When we have to wait upon God, many times we get discouraged. I appreciate that. Did you already drink out of this?
No, sir. I just opened it so it'd be easier for you.
I was just making sure. If it comes open, I'm kind of concerned there. But people are not patient nowadays. I mean, because we don't mind waiting as long as it's something that we want. But a lot of times, when we're in a hurry, we don't like to wait. We don't like to wait for God, especially. We want God to answer our prayers now. We want to know what's going on now. We want to see God working now. But the thing about it is our time is not God's time. God has His own timing in everything that He does. He has a reason for making you wait. How many of you just look up at God and say, Lord, thank you for making me wait today? Anybody ever done that?
No.
No, I've never done that. Many times I'll say, Lord, you know, I deserve to wait. But I've never said, God, thank you for making me wait. I'm just like everybody else. I want something. I want it now. But you know, when we wait upon God, we have to think about some things. We think about waiting. And by waiting upon God, we realize, of course, number one, He's our salvation. In this verse here, it says, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. Look, God is our salvation. We wait on Him. I'm glad He waits on us. Can you imagine if God got in as much of a hurry as we get in a hurry? If He was pushing us like we push Him? Most of us probably wouldn't be here right now. Amen? But look, God is our salvation. He is our salvation. This word salvation, of course, means to deliver or bring victory. We have been delivered from hell and, of course, given victory over the devil through Jesus Christ. Look, when we wait upon God, He is our victory. Waiting brings victory. Amen? Where's all my military guys? We got Brother Buell was in there. We got Brother Pat. How many active duty guys we got? Okay, two. All right, so now, you guys that are active duty, have either one of you been over to Iraq? Okay, one. Afghanistan? Lucky you. You ain't got to go yet, huh? Missiles. Yes, yes. Oh, those blessed days. I remember being stationed here at Great Falls and those missile cops would always, they'd come back and most of the time they were bumped and bruised, but the vehicles were destroyed. You gotta love missile cops, amen? No, it's the black ice, anyway. But, when you're over there in Iraq, sometimes, Brother Bill, you had to wait. Hey, now y'all pay attention when I'm talking, okay? No, just talking between yourselves. When you're in Iraq, when you were over in Iraq, there's many times you had to wait, right? If you didn't wait, what would happen? You could get hurt, could get killed. A lot of times you have to wait for the right moment to do what you need to do for the military. Right? There's a time to move, there's a time to stay. When you wait and wait for the right timing, it brings victory. Amen? In the battle, in the military, that's the way it is. When you're fighting in a battle, you're fighting in a war. A lot of times when you wait, it brings victory. When you don't wait, it brings tragedy. And here God's talking about waiteth upon God, from Him comes my salvation. When we wait upon God and wait for His timing, it will bring victory. Versus tragedy. How many times have we got ahead of God and caused problems or caused troubles for ourselves? How many times have we got ahead of God and got hurt because we weren't waiting? God is our salvation. He is our salvation. It is our victory. By waiting on Him, it brings victory. Not only that, He is our security, Psalm 62:2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. The word security means to protect. God watches over us every day and protects us. Look, waiting on God brings God's protection. When we don't wait on God, we forfeit God's protection. Amen? I like having God's protection. Brother Buell, when you were over there, were you by yourself out there? You mean you weren't all alone? They just didn't give you a weapon and send you out there and say, we'll see you in a little while? No. How many men usually were with you at one time? On an average basis. A couple hundred guys. Now, it feels pretty secure when you got a couple hundred guys surrounding you. Amen? You feel pretty safe. Well, unless you got a couple hundred guys like him. I always enjoy. See, when he preaches, I'm not in here. So I don't have to suffer the abuse, but when I'm preaching, he's in here. So that's fine. No, but look, it's nice when you're out there and you're surrounded by a bunch of men who all have the same purpose and goal in mind. You feel protected. The same as when we wait upon God. By waiting on God, we have that protection. We have that security that we know as long as we're moving in God's time frame, that we are secure, that we're protected. Look, I need all the protection I can get. There's a lot of stuff out there that can hurt me. There's a lot of stuff out there that can damage my testimony. Waiting on God not only brings victory, it also brings security, protection. Not only that, number three, waiting upon God. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, now, it says, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Excuse me. Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bow, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Verses 3 and 4, it talks a little bit about stability. And of course, the word stability means to stand firm and strength and strong. By waiting upon God, we have stability. We have, how do you explain it? It's like being a dad. Okay, my kids, they don't worry whether they're going to eat. Amen? Trust. Look at my boys. You'll know. They're not concerned about the next meal. They're not concerned about when they get up in the morning if the electricity is going to come on or not. They're not concerned about the fact that when they get up, are they going to have water to take a bath or a shower? Of course, that's not really a big issue because once a week you don't need a lot of water anyway. But, no. Hey, he's getting better. He is getting better. I used to get on to him, but of course I remember. No, actually, I don't remember those days. I was a very strange child. I was one of those unique kids. I took a bath every other day when I was a kid. I wanted one. And I was just weird. Joshua's normal. Amen? But they don't worry about what's going to happen from day to day in our house because the stability. I work, I do what I'm supposed to do as a dad. I take care of my family. It provides them with stability. They know that things are going to get done when dad says they're going to get done. They know they can depend on dad to take care of things for them. They know if they need something, dad's going to take care of it. They have stability in their life. When we wait on God, it provides that stability. It provides that sense of, I'm not worried about it, God's going to take care of it. What is it to me to be stable in Christian life? It's just to know that everything's under control. When we wait on God, we have that feeling, we have that sense that everything is under control. We get up and we say, you know, no matter what happens, it's going to be all right. When the hard times come, we say, it'll be all right. God will take care of it. We have stability in Him. We wait on Him so that He provides us with that stability. So by waiting upon God, He is our salvation. He's our victory. Okay? Waiting on Him brings victory instead of tragedy. By waiting upon God, He's our security. He protects us. He watches over us. By waiting upon God, He is our stability. The devil, of course, tries every day to weaken your faith in God. The Bible tells us to take a stand and it will be worth it in the end. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. You know, the devil is out to destroy you. We've talked about this before. Everybody knows that. It's nothing new. A lot of times we forget. But look, the devil doesn't like you. He never has, never will. And he will do everything in his power to destroy you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. By waiting on God, it gives us that we can take that verse and we can claim it without any hesitation. In other words, when we know that God's going to take care of things, it's easy for us to be steadfast. It's easy for us to be unmovable because we know where our foundation, our security is, our stability is. My stability in the Christian life is not based on my abilities. My abilities fail me. Sometimes I make mistakes. Preacher, on the other hand, doesn't make mistakes. I talked about this the last time. I love it so much when it comes to people. Sometimes you just want to wring their neck. Preacher makes a mistake, he's condemned for life. Your spouse makes a mistake, all right, it's okay. Your friend makes a mistake, no biggie, who cares? The pastor makes a mistake, why, you're just worthless. That's people. Look, we all make mistakes. I know that my stability is not based on my abilities and what I can do. I know that my stability is based on His abilities and what He can do in my life. I trust in Him. So He is our salvation, our security, and our stability as we wait upon Him. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. The Bible says here now, it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. We saw in verse number 1, David says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. Now David takes it a step up. He takes it another step up the ladder there. He says, my soul waiteth thou only upon God. It gives a little more emphasis to it. Because as we get into the next couple of verses here, we understand why. He is, because we wait only upon God, He is our only relief. You look at verse number 5. For my expectation is from God. This word relief, of course, means rest. All right? No matter how hard life gets, we can always find rest in God. By waiting only in God, He is our rest, our relief. You know, I need rest. Amen? Sunday's never a good day for me. It is because I love coming to church. I love to hear the preaching. I love being with the kids. But I'm running at half speed. When you get off at 6 o'clock in the morning, come home, have a cup of tea, hop in bed, sleep for 2 hours, get up, run, go back to bed for another 2.5 hours, and then go, come back, enjoy yourself, and then run and hit another 8.5 hours of work. It's not fun. All of us need rest. I'm not so much interested in the physical rest as I am the spiritual rest. I can get physical rest anytime, but I can only get spiritual rest from God. I can go get in my bed and I can enjoy myself. I can snuggle up and I love it now. My wife, I don't know if she's just getting older and sentimental or what's going on. I'm not sure. Kind of worries me a little bit. But now every morning, ever since I got back from Sydney, it's been one of these things where I go to work at night. I come home and when I go to bed, I get in the bed. She tucks me in. It's so exciting. Sometimes, if I'm lucky, she gets into bed before I do and warms it up for me. Oh, that's nice, boy. But she'll get in there and she'll pull the covers up to my neck and then she'll give me a kiss and, you know, she'll turn the light off and it's like, wow, this is nice. Yeah. Look, I can get some rest. Well, I sleep and it's enjoyable. I enjoy that pillow. I enjoy my bed. I enjoy all the covers. I have about 15 of them on my bed right now. Keeps me warm. You know, my wife and I, today it was funny. We came home from church and we got into the house. It was a little chilly in there. And my wife and I, we usually get into the discussion as to what temperature the house should be. And I usually lose. But we have come to an agreement while she's there. We have an agreement as long as she's in the house. 69 degrees. And when she's not in the house, we won't even discuss it, where it goes after that. But we came home today, it was 62 degrees is what the thing was set on. It had gone down. And my wife is like, man, it's cold in here. I was like, well, come on, honey, turn it up. You know what to do. And I pulled her close to me and I said, come over to the dark side. Heat this house up. But I love to be warm. I love the comfort of the bed and the warmth of the bed and the rest that I get from it. But in this life that we live, it's not the physical rest that gets us through from day to day. It's not that physical rest that helps us to survive from one moment to another. It's not that physical rest that helps us to deal with the battles that the devil rages all around us. It's that spiritual rest. Amen? It's the spiritual rest. It's that rest that we get by knowing that God is taking care of things. It's that rest that we find as we read the Word of God and it comforts our souls. You know, so when we wait only upon God, we get something that we can only get from God. And that is spiritual rest. Amen? Not only that, because we wait only upon God, He is also our only rock. Look at verse number 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. This word rock means strength. God is our strength. God's strength gives us ability to stand, to take a stand for what is right. Look, folks, I am not the strongest man in the world, although my wife will tell you that more than once. She always tells me, oh, honey, you're so strong. And I believe her a lot of times, and I you know, it's nice. I told the kids in junior church this morning, I was showing, and I was telling them, that is solid right there. Of course, I didn't say solid flab, I just said it was solid. Alright? I can be strong when I need to be strong. But there's many times when I need to be strong, I have no strength. And the only way I can make it through is to rely on the strength of God. I need His strength. David said here, He is my rock and my salvation. He's my strength. He's what gets me going from day to day. He's what helps me to handle the tough times. I need strength every day. Look, I go into an environment with the post office, it will wear you down. Physically, spiritually, it takes all your energy. It takes all your strength away from you. I listen to the vulgarity. I listen to the cussing. I watch the way they talk to each other and the way they look at each other. And I know that they're married. And I'm thinking, this is not right. Stuff shouldn't be this way. But by being in that environment many times, it drains your strength. And so I have to take time out every once in a while and I have to wait only upon God. I have to get myself alone somewhere in that several thousand square foot building, work, but while I'm working, take time to reach up to God and say, God, I need your strength. God, I need strength right now because I'm getting weak. If I don't get some strength from you, I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say. Boy, I tell you, sometimes you want to lash out. But you got to have God's strength to control that tongue. Amen? So by waiting only upon God, we find He's our relief, our only relief, and our only rock, our strength. Not only that, He is our only refuge. Look at verse number 7. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. This word refuge means hope. In the world where we live, there is no hope. But we have the hope that the world needs. Christ is our hope. Amen? He's our refuge. He's our hope. He gives us something to look forward to. Amen? I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I'm not ready to go yet. I'm enjoying myself. I've got a grandbaby coming, which is a message. Hurry up, little one. Gee, you want to stink of kids. Tell you what, they just take your time. I got my wife's having surgery on Thursday, and this little lady here is just going to kind of casually mosey on into the world. She's going to be just like her mother. Man. But no, I got a little lady coming into this world here in a couple of days. Well, whenever. And in March, I'll have another one. In March, I'll have a grandson coming. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm not ready to go to heaven, but I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the fact that no matter how long I go, I don't have to worry about sleeping. I got up this morning. Oh, have mercy. Today has been the hardest day when it comes to resting. I got up and I told my class this morning, I took a shower with my eyes closed the whole time. I was just hoping that somehow, some way, if I kept my eyes closed, that I would get an extra minute of sleep. Even while I'm trying to wash my hair and my body. I'm thinking, Lord, some way, somehow, give me something extra this morning. I mean, it was hard. It was difficult. When I got up this afternoon, same way. But at least when I get to heaven, I ain't going to have to worry about that. I don't have to work shifts. No more nights. Okay, all right, forget you guys. Now, missile guys should know this. You know all about nights, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, so you know. Look, in heaven, we don't have to worry about that stuff. It's going to be great. It's going to be a wonder. We have that hope that no matter how tough it gets here, we've got there to look forward to. We can hope in heaven, hope in Christ. So by waiting only upon God, we realize that He is our only refuge. He's our only hope. There is no hope in this world. There is no hope in each other. Look, I love my friends. I love all of you folks. But look, sometimes you disappoint me just like I disappoint you. And some of you say, never. I would never do that. I know Brother Rick never disappoints me. That's right. He's perfect.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right. It's
yes.
It's all you, brother.
See there? I'm actually nice to you now. All right. Just remember this next time you preach. Okay? All right. But if you're going to slam me, wait till I'm in here, all right? Okay. All right. Just making sure. But look, my hope is in Him only because I can't find hope in the things around me. I can't find hope in the people around me because people let you down. People disappoint you. But when my hope is only in God, I'm never let down. I'm never disappointed. Okay? So when we wait only upon God, we find He's our relief, our rock, and our refuge. And lastly, look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So we talked about how wait and trust all have the same meaning of just taking time to slow down, to be still, and get to know God. Now when we think about trusting in Him at all times, we think of, number one, in times of despair. Look at verse number 8. It says, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. In other words, David's saying, look, during those times of despair, during those times of heartache, trust in Him. It's easy to trust in God when everything is going good. Amen? Easy. But when the hard times come, how easy is it to trust God? When the trials come, when the tragedies come, and despair hits your doorstep, how easy is it to trust God? It's not. It's difficult. But when you trust in God, it just makes everything better. By trusting in Him, it doesn't make a difference how hard things get. It's okay. People around us, a lot of times, they don't understand how in the world we can be so happy and so calm when we are going through hard times. They look at you like, man, you should be breaking down right now. You should be having a hard time. You should be just physically and mentally not able to handle things. What's wrong with you? I have Christ. I have Christ. If in Christ, I can go through the storms of life and be okay. Look, we've all had our hard times. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine the day that preacher had to go through what he went through with Miss Marcia when that fatal day happened. I can't imagine the despair that came to his doorstep. I can't imagine the heartache that he felt as he looked at his wife laying there. But you look at the man of God now. You look at our preacher now. He is stronger and more confident than he's ever been. He has become a greater preacher to me. Because he took that time of despair, and put his complete trust in the one who saved him. And he's come out on top. That's the example you need to follow. Trusting God at all times doesn't mean at the good times only, but when no matter what happens, no matter what bad things come your way, you trust in Him during those times of despair. Because they will come. It's not a matter of when, or it's not a matter of if they will come, it's just a matter of when. Everybody has to face despair. Nobody is exempt. Some of us go through harder times of despair than others. But all of us face despair at one time or another. All of us face that place where we just want to give up. And I'm not a quitter. Trust me. My kids will tell you, I do not quit. I don't believe in quitting. But there have been times in my life that I've wanted to give up. One time was when I came back to Great Falls, Montana in 1990, and I got introduced to this man here. I was at the place spiritually that I was ready to give up. I was at a place of despair where I just like, that's enough for me. And then he comes, puts his arm around me, and he motivates me to keep on going. I'm here today, folks. I am here today doing what I'm doing, and I've done what I've done since 1990, and I owe a lot of it to Him. He's my pastor, and He's been my greatest example in a lot of ways. In this one area, especially in times of despair, you want to learn how to trust God. Watch Him. So, trusting Him in all times in despair. Number two, trusting Him in times of temptation. Verse number 10. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Temptations will come. Temptations come. God's either trying to test you or the devil's trying to destroy you. But temptations will come. There's going to be those times when you have to make a decision, where you have to decide what to do. And hopefully you decide to do what's right. Trusting God at all times says that when the temptation comes, you don't have to think about it. You automatically know what to do. I understand there's a lot of gray areas. A lot of things are not black and white. But if you're not sure what to do, don't. Amen? The temptation comes and you're not sure what to do, just don't. Walk away. Well, works for me. I don't know about the rest of you, but look, trusting in Him at all times will help you during those times of temptation, those times that the devil is trying to destroy you. Temptation, I'm 51 years old. Okay? I'm an old man. Maybe, a little bit. No, but there's stuff out there. The devil's got stuff out there that he uses to try to destroy me. And I've told you this before. Look, I don't ride in vehicles alone with any woman, except for my wife or my daughters. I don't care how bad I need a ride. I'm not getting in the car with you. I don't stay in buildings alone if there's a woman in there by herself. I find somewhere else to go. I am not above the temptation. I'm not exempt from doing that kind of thing. But when I trust in God at all times, it helps me to do the right thing when those kind of temptations come along. Men, the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy that purity that you have between you and your wife. And he's got a lot of different ways to do it. And you better figure out how to trust him. Or otherwise, you're going to become a casualty one day. You don't stay married 31 years by following the devil around. You stay married 31 years by trusting the God of heaven. And how long have you been married, preacher? How many years now? 45 years. Comes with trusting God at all times to protect you when the temptations come. Because look, it don't make a difference how old you are, guys. The devil can still get you in that area. Youngins, you young couples, you learn that now before it's too late. Right now, boy, I think the average marriage today, I think they say the average marriage lasts about 5 years. Five or less. If you can make it past five, you're doing good. But hey, the only way you can do it is by trusting in God. Yeah. So, by trusting in Him at all times, we trust in Him in times of despair and in times of temptation. Not only that, in times of doubt. Psalm 62, verse number 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. All right. Trusting in God helps to wash the doubts away. I know God can do what He can do. I have no doubts. I used to when I was young. I doubted God many times. But over the years, I've learned to trust Him in such a way that now I don't question whether God can do it or not. We still have Christians that question whether God can do what He can do. You better get past that. Because God can do exactly what He said He can do, and a lot more than that. Don't doubt God's abilities. Doubt your own abilities, but don't doubt God's abilities. Don't doubt God's power. You might doubt your power, but don't doubt God's power. In times of doubt, when the devil comes along and tries to stir your mind up and get you to thinking that God has abandoned you, kick the devil in the back end and get back to who you belong. Never doubt that God loves you. Never doubt that God wants to take care of you. Never doubt that God is always there with you. In those times of doubt, you have to trust God. Sometimes it gets to a place where you start kind of shaking your head and thinking, well... But you have to just kind of stomp your feet if you need to and say, I'm just going to trust God. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't see from here, but I'm just going to trust Him. The other day I was driving to work, driving home from work, and it was foggy. It was cold and it was foggy. And I was coming over a bridge and I could not see anything. Now when you're on a bridge over the river, that's not a good place to be where you can't see stuff. Okay? I can swim, but not in minus degree water. Right? So I got to that bridge, I couldn't see anything, and And I'm thinking, Lord, I said, okay. I slowed down and I said, Lord, I'm trusting you to get me to the other side, get me through this. And it was amazing. As soon as I got to the other side of the bridge, the fog was gone. That's what happens in times of doubt. The devil puts that fog there. And you got to decide, are you going to stop and just wonder what to do or doubt God's abilities, or are you going to push on? Because if you push on, He'll get you through the fog, He'll get you through the doubt, and then on the other side, everything will become clear. So in times of doubt, and lastly, not only by trusting God at all times, do we need to trust Him in times of despair, times of temptation, and times of doubt, but also times of discouragement. Psalm 62:12. Also unto Thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for Thou renderest to every man according to his work. This word discouragement means, of course, to bring down. The world does not want you to be excited for God, so they are always trying to discourage you. All right? Discouragement will come. There's always going to be those around that are going to try to bring you down. And you know what's funny about that is? A lot of times it's other Christians. More times than not, it's Christians that are trying to discourage you instead of the lost people. And that's a shame. It shouldn't be that way. As Christians, we should be encouraging, not discouraging. Some people I don't talk to. Now, they're not here. I'm not going to mention names. But I've been in some churches where I usually didn't ask them how they were doing because they would tell me. And every time they told me, it was always discouraging. I thought, I came to church for this. And I'm thinking, oh man. But look, I like to be around those folks that encourage you, not discourage you. Now, when we trust God, we can find encouragement in everything. Even during the discouraging times, we can be encouraged. Amen? Because our trust is in Him and not ourselves and those around us. We trust in Him in all times. We find encouragement. The discouragement goes away. Look, I get discouraged just like everybody else. My wife would tell you, I remember when we got ready to go on deputation, it was in 1996, and I come to the place where I wasn't sure what to do. And usually any time God wants me to do something major, I always pause. And sometimes I pause too long and I forget to take off pause and put it back on play again. Have you ever been there? Well, my wife in her subtle, sweet, gentle way, we needed to get moving. And she was right. I hate to admit that, but she was right. No, she's been right about a lot of things. She said, honey, God's called you to be a missionary, right? I said, yes. He's told you need to go out and get support, right? Yes. Why aren't we doing it? And I said, well, if you don't decide what to do, I'm going to go home and stay with Mom. She threatened me. Can you believe that? Yeah. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, but the thing was is she was just trying to get the old fire going again. I put it on pause and forgot to take it off. I was discouraged because I wasn't sure what to do. Things at that point weren't going the way that I wanted them to, and I'd gotten a little discouraged, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to stay put. It's safer that way. Discouragement will cause you to stay put and try to play it safe. Encouragement will cause you to move forward and trust. Amen? Play it safe. I don't have time to play it safe. I only have one life to live for Christ. I'm giving it all. Every once in a while I get discouraged. I put things on pause. I have to be reminded by God who He is. And then I go back. Now, it's gotten better over the years. I don't stay on pause as long as I used to. But hey, we all get discouraged. We all get to that place where we just, you know, our tail end is kind of hanging down to our ankles. We're walking around like a whipped puppy. Some of y'all are looking at me like, huh? If you haven't been there, you will get there. And if you haven't been there more than once, you'll get there again. It doesn't stop until the day you die. Then, of course, once you're in heaven, there's no more discouragement. Amen? So, by waiting and trusting in Him in all times, it causes us to trust in Him in times of despair, temptation, doubt, and discouragement. Tonight, I hope that you've something in this lesson, this message tonight, has helped you. Folks, it's time to be still and get to know God a little bit better. It's time to slow down and focus. Some of us have gotten busy. There's a lot of things that are undone in the church. There's a lot of things undone in this world that we as Christians should be doing. It's time to slow down from our busy lives. Focus, get our focus back on Him. Wait on Him. Wait only on Him. And trust in Him in all times. Father, we thank You for tonight. Help us now as we get ready to dismiss. Thank You for this opportunity, Lord, that You've given me tonight. Pray, God, tonight during the invitation time that You would bless in a great way. As You've dealt with hearts, Lord, I know that You're dealing with hearts right now. And I pray that tonight, Lord, that You would help someone to be what they need to be for You. Maybe there's someone here tonight, Father, that's without Jesus Christ. Tonight would be the night that they would come to know Him. Maybe there's Christians here tonight, Father, that have somehow gotten so busy. They've gotten too busy. And the things of your things, Lord, are just not important to them anymore. It's time for them to slow down, get their focus back, to learn how to wait on You, to wait only on You, and to trust in You at all times. Father, help us to be exactly what we need to be. Speak to hearts tonight as only You can. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Everyone standing to their feet tonight. As the piano plays tonight, if you need to do business with God, you come down to this old-fashioned altar and take care of business. If God spoke to your heart, how's your life tonight, folks? If God has spoken to your heart, you come. I know God's speaking to some of you tonight. If you need to come, you come. The altar's open. You come, you do business with God.
Tonight, you're not sure you're saved. Boy, this would be a great night to get saved. Take care of that. Here tonight, you have not followed Lord Believer's baptism. Boy, that would be great. Take care of that. You're here tonight, you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe that God wants us to be. God wants us to serve at. Information on our calendar, it says that Brother Walker is going to be here. They're not going to be able to come. They're going south. I'm not scared because of the weather, but anyway. Let's have a word of prayer for the meal over next door. And, boy, we're glad you're here tonight. Thank you. Brother Scott, I need to talk to you. Don't let me forget to talk to you about something. All right. Father, thank You, Lord, for what You've given to us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus, to realize that it is our responsibility to be still and know that You are God. And that, Lord, we would stop and realize how important it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We'd realize how important it is to trust You in everything. And, Lord, through the fog, that's called faith. That's what we're doing. We're living by faith. Some of the things that happen in our lives, we can't understand. We just can't even imagine. But, Lord, we know that it's through you that you give us the spiritual help, the spiritual rest that we need to carry on. Lord, I pray that you'd just be with us. I pray for Diana Ruff, Lord. Would you heal her body and strengthen her? I pray for Sherry, Lord, as she goes in for surgery. I also pray for little wind boy, Lord God, that you would certainly be with him in his surgery. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd just help us in everything we do and say. Lord, may we be encouragement to each other. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.